A Life in Christ, starting from page 58 to a paragraph. Parents and teachers, beware to be most careful not to let your children be capricious. Otherwise, they will soon forget to value your love. Their hearts will be corrupted with wickedness. They will soon lose holy, true, glowing love for their from their hearts. And on reaching maturity, they will complain bitterly that in their youth you spoiled them too much and encouraged them in their caprices. Capriciousness is the germ of the corruption of the heart, the rust of the heart, divorce of love, the seed of evil, and the abomination to the Lord. In the church especially is accomplished the mystery of the cleansing from sins. Reverence therefore the place where your soul is cleansed from all impurities, where you are reconciled to God, where you receive the true life of the Spirit. How many times the Lord has granted me to cleanse the cleansing from my sins, without which I could not have enjoyed God's gifts, the greatest of life's gifts, the gift of peace and joy and earthly blessing besides. Glory to thee, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Nothing is more changeable than matter. It changes into millions of forms by natural means according to the laws of the Creator, not to speak of the wonderful changes, for instance, of fire into dew, of water into blood, of water into wine, or of the rod into the serpent. Even man sometimes changes matters into 1,000 different forms. What can therefore be said of God, who has created everything? The nature of matter is its changeableness. God does not act thus and does not desire to act thus with a reasonable spirit. The nature of the spirit is its unchangeableness. But to strive to become perfect in good works, in the act of a reasonable created spirit, it is the triumph of the spirit over matter that the spirit changes it into thousands of forms. Notice, for instance, how this spirit changes matter in the vegetable kingdom, how endlessly varying are the forms of plants, all growing out of the same soil, with the help of the same light of the sun, the same air, and the same water. And the bodies of animals, how varied they are. Thus the nature of matter is changeableness. Upon this condition the world was created in all its variety. Glory to the only, eternally unchangeable God, the all-powerful Creator. Had matter been unchangeable, then God would not have been all-powerful. Glory to the spiritual nature. May it ever conquer the material nature. Ask God to give you unchangeableness in all that is good. Why is it that we always remember the offenses of men, are angry and bear malice against the offenders, whilst the most wicked, the most hurtful, and continual offenses of the devil we very soon forget, even though we have been thus offended by him 1,000 times a day, while we bear in remembrance the offenses of men sometimes for longer than a day? This is the enticement of the devil. He knows how to deceive us cleverly. Whilst offending us himself, he ever screens himself behind our own self-love, as though wishing to gratify us in the beginning by means of the development of certain passion, though afterwards he always destroys, and bitterness comes to us from him for our foolish, unreasonable self-love. The offenses of other people against us he always magnifies 100-fold, representing them in a false light. And here again, he screens himself behind our own self-love, as though he were jealous of our welfare, which other people are seeking to destroy by their offenses. Two forces in direct opposition of each other influence us, one good and the other evil, one life-giving and the other deadly. As both are spiritual forces, both are invisible. The good power, through my free and sincere prayer, always drives away the evil power, which is strong enough through the evil concealed within me. In order not to be subjected to the continual harassment of the evil spirit, we must constantly have in our hearts this prayer to Jesus Christ. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Against the invisible one, the devil, the invisible God, Almighty, against the invisible God, against the mightier. If men, weak, short-lived, mortal creatures, do so many great and wonderful acts by means of the powers and capabilities they are blessed with, if sometimes many millions of people obey a single word of one man, then what cannot the great author of all human life do? What will not obey his word? Remember the words of the centurion. I also, said he, am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Furthermore, if many animals are also gifted with skills to do various wonderful things which cannot even be done by a man, the animals which we trample under the foot, which are insignificant and weak, then what is there that cannot be done by the Creator of everything and everybody, who has bountifully endued all with all skill and capabilities and powers? If the soul is grass, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, is formed by his word into such delicate and beautiful shapes, if every substance we see is obedient to his word and changes into incomprehensibly endless variety at his sign by the means of the five elements only, who then, seeing all this, will require greater pledge in his omnipotence? Wonderful are thy works, O Lord, at each step and at every moment of life. Heaven and earth are full of the glory of thy wisdom, of the glory of thy mercy, and the glory of thy omnipotence. Thou art not only thyself the most wise creator, and constantly manifest thyself as such, but thou also givest the capacity of creating to thy creatures, so that they create at thy word through the powers which thou hast given them wonderful and useful things. Oh, in what splendor thou hast arrayed thyself, how we have abased ourselves and our nature of sin. Oh, but how dear and great we are in the sight of God. For our sakes he did not spare his own Son, but clothed him with our flesh, gave him our nature for our salvation. He has prepared for us from the creation of the world an everlasting kingdom, and our conversion rejoices good angels. And yet, what do we do? Do we not even wish to know this, and abase ourselves lower and lower? We slay our souls by various vices and earthly passions. It is sad, inexpressibly sad, to look upon a man, a creature created according to God's image, and sad especially to look upon the Christian, found worthy of such a high calling, so much esteemed and so loaded with benefits by God. Forced prayer develops hypocrisy, renders a man incapable of any occupation requiring meditation, and makes him slothful in everything, even in fulfilling his duties. This should persuade all who pray in this manner to correct their mode of praying. We must pray gladly, with energy, from the whole heart. Do not pray to God only when you are obliged to, either in sorrow or in need, for God loves a cheerful giver. In all the temples of the bodies of pious Christians, which are not made with human hands, there is a mental light, the soul, and that light is derived from God, the wise Son, who is visible in the world in the same way as a soul is in the body. I notice how God, the mental Son, enters and shines into my soul, and then I feel happy, warm, and bright. But when he goes away, he leaves the soul in darkness and suffering. As immaterial nature, the darkness is caused by the departure or setting of the sun. So likewise in the spiritual nature, the darkness is caused by the departure of the mental sun from the soul, and by its covering with the darkness of the accursed one. As in material nature, there is always some remainder of light after sunset by reason of the incomparable size of the sun. So also in the soul there is some remainder of life even after the departure of the mental sun by reason of his omnipresence and by reason of the comparative weakness of the prince of the darkness, who without God's permission is unable to completely darken the soul. But we must beware also, as the Lord has said, lest darkness come upon us completely. When we are granted recovery from any illness, render thanks to God in the following short form of praise. Glory to thee, Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, and the everlasting Father, who alone are able to heal all manner of sickness and disease in men, that thou hast had mercy upon me, a sinner, and hast delivered me from my sickness, not allowing it to develop and slay me according to my sins. Grant to me from this time forth, Master, strength to firmly fulfill thy will, to the salvation of my accursed soul, and to thy glory, and that of thy everlasting Father and thy consubstantial Spirit, both now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. What is a pure heart? It is meek, humble, guileless, simple, trusting, true, unsuspicious, gentle, good, not covetous, not envious, not adulterous. My soul, remember thy heavenly dignity, and do not be disturbed by corruptible worthless things. Honor also in other people their heavenly dignity, and do not dare offend or hate them for any perishable cause. Love with all thy might that which is spiritual and heavenly, and despise that which is material earthly. Remember the words of thy Savior. Give us this day our daily bread. Only this day's the highest Christian wisdom lies concealed in these words. Remember also that the Lord himself showed during his life an example of carelessness in regards to means of sustenance, and was contented with voluntary offerings only. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. You hate your enemy. You are foolish. Why? Because if your enemy persecutes you, you also inwardly persecute yourself, to say, it is not persecution, it is the most cruel persecution to torture yourself by your hatred towards your enemy. Love your enemy, and you will be wise. Oh, if you only knew what a triumph, what blessedness is to love your enemy and to do good to him. So did the Son of Man, Son of God, so did God in the Holy Trinity triumph and still triumphs through his love over the ungrateful and evil-natured human race. So also did God's saints triumph over their enemies by loving them and doing good to them. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Glory be to God.